Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the first chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text which has already been read. Be seated. You know, there was nothing really special about that young woman. Just a small town girl from a backwater village called Nazareth. And you wonder, what was she doing when the visitor showed up, the one who would bring news that would leave her shaken and confused? You wonder, was she doing food prep for the upcoming meal? Or maybe cleaning up after a meal, making cloth, fetching water from the well, or any of the other routine tasks that a 13-ish-year-old girl would have been doing? Maybe she was thinking about her upcoming marriage to Joseph, the man picked out for her by her father several years previous. With a life expectancy of about 35 years for women, a lot of them died in childbirth, and about 40 years for men, life was short and compacted, and yet the thought of living together before marriage or doing that would have been unthinkable to Mary. So there was really nothing special about this young woman. Just a small town girl from a backwater village called Nazareth. And then the angel came to her. We call it the Annunciation, and the church observes this festival on March 25. You know, it's not a common thing for angels to come and speak to people. How many times has an angel come and spoken to you? But of course, these are not common times. Many uncommon things are taking place. In fact, some of the things that are happening are kind of hard to get your head around. Just before this, this same angel had come to Zacharias, an old man, to explain to him what was going on with his wife, the old woman Elizabeth, who was unable to have children, who was going to have a child. The angel who came to Zacharias with that news is called Gabriel. And it's a busy time of the year for everybody, and Gabriel's working overtime. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And it startles Mary. It startles Mary, who had just been minding her own beeswax. Think back to that last time when you were just minding your own beeswax, living your life, and an angel came to you and started talking to you. Weren't you just a little bit startled? And we don't know what form Gabriel took, what he looked like. Maybe he was dressed in a white robe, and maybe he had wings, maybe not. And then Gabriel began to walk towards Mary, maybe get a little bit into her space. But it was not the appearance of the angel that caused Mary to be greatly troubled. And the word here means shaken, literally shaken, not stirred. And it's the only time that this word is used in the entire New Testament. The root word for this word is reserved in the New Testament for situations causing the most extreme consternation for somebody. And we know what it's like to be shaken up. And there's actually an intensifier at the beginning of this word. It's like we're adding the word very to extremely shaken up. Mary was very extremely shaken up here. So we aren't sure exactly what Gabriel looked like, but whatever form and appearance Gabriel took, and however sudden his appearing to her, and no matter this male getting into her space, it was neither his appearance nor the surprise, nor the space issue that had Mary very extremely shaken. Mary was shaken, Luke tells us, at the saying, at the word of God, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. Yeah, I guess so. Perhaps we should look more closely at this saying, this word of God that Gabriel the angel said to Mary. The word greeting or hail does not do justice to the first word out of the mouth of Gabriel the angel to Mary. Gabriel the angel, did not say to Mary, "Hey, what's up? How you doing? Que pasa?" or something like that. The word is almost always correctly translated rejoiced in the New Testament because that's what the word means. So the first word out of the mouth of Gabriel, the angel, to Mary is an exhortation to rejoice. That doesn't seem like anything to be shaken up about, does it? And he then calls Mary favored one, a word that in the literature of the day refers to one who is chosen by one in a higher position for elevation to a great honor without any merit or worthiness in the recipient. Still nothing to be shaken up about, really. So Gabriel, the angel, tells Mary to rejoice, calls her the favored one. And then Gabriel tells Mary the reason why she should rejoice, and those words would be enough to shake the most steady of souls. Rejoice, rejoice, O favored one, the Lord with you. The Lord with you. That's it. That's the part that would have shaken Mary to the very core of her being. It was at that moment, the Lord with you, that Mary, the teenager, who had a few moments previous to this been minding her own beeswax, realized that she was the one. The one. And it goes back to the prophet Isaiah, who had told King Ahaz, who piously refused God's offer to show him a sign, a miracle. Isaiah says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." You may or may not be familiar with that word, Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel is actually three Hebrew words, Im, with, Manu, us, El, God. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, if the fall into sin taught us anything, it taught us the inability of man to save himself. You recall that Adam and Eve had been placed into absolute paradise. They had everything anybody could ever want, and they had the favor of God. Except for this one thing. Don't eat of that one tree. That one tree, leave it alone. The rest of the entirety of God's creation is open to you to use and enjoy, but don't eat of that one tree. Of course, what did they do? And it doesn't seem like they put up much of a fight, does it? And right after that monumental human defeat and failure, God promises victory and success over the enemy. He promised to send an offspring to Eve who will crush the head, a fatal blow to the enemy who has just defeated them. And Eve thought that God meant right now. And when her first offspring is produced, she proclaims, "I have gotten a man, the Lord. I have gotten a man, the Lord," she says of Cain. But not so fast. You see, Cain carried the seed of Adam, the seed of sin, original sin. And far from being the Lord, Cain turns out instead to be the first murderer of Abel, his brother, no less. And after Cain and Abel, other offspring are born over the years. Some are good, some are bad, some are indifferent. None are God. None are perfect. None are able to save self, let alone all of mankind. Until now. Until now. "The Lord with you," says Gabriel, the angel, to Mary, who is about to become the mother of God. And that might be the sort of thing that would shake you up just a little bit. The sentence is an ellipsis. The verb is missing, but like most ellipses, the part that is missing is clear. And here the verb has to be is. And what Gabriel, the angel, says to Mary is, "The Lord is with you," or as Matthew puts it, quoting Isaiah, "He will be Emmanuel, God with us." On many Sunday mornings, the pastor will say to you, "The Lord be with you," and you'll respond with, "And your spirit." But that's not quite what's going on here. Much more than that is going on here in the life and body of Mary. The particular sentence structure used here is to denote one in company with whom something happens, and the something that happens is the conception of Jesus, who will be God with us, first in the womb of Mary, and then as a living person, and because of whom he is, fully and completely divine God, as well as being fully and completely human, he is the one person who is able to save all mankind from all sin, and he does. Unlike Eve and Adam and us, when tempted, he does not sin, not even once. And yet he finds himself on that instrument, that ancient instrument of torture, the cross, where even his father abandons his son. And this he did willingly to pay for all the sins of all the people of all times and all places. And Mary says, Gabriel, the angel, you are to rejoice. You are the favored one, because through you, in your body, this instrument will come, the instrument of salvation will come. The Lord is with you. And Gabriel, the angel, must have noticed the body language. He noticed that the girl was shaken, because Gabriel, the angel, says to her next, "Stop being afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God," repeating that, "you have found favor with God, and behold," explaining further now, "you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And Mary next reveals a very basic knowledge of basic biology, and is perhaps wanting to make sure she's heard this thing right. The Annunciation was a new thing at this point. She asks, "How shall this be, since I have no husband?" And Gabriel, the angel, now talks mechanics, saying to you that the Holy Spirit will enter into you. And that's not what the translations say, but what we have here is a preposition of motion, followed by a noun in the accusative case. And in the Greek language, that means motion into. So the correct reading there is that the Holy Spirit will enter into you. That's how this is going to happen. That's how it would happen. Even though you're not married, and even though you've never known a man. And at that time, Gabriel continues, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you." Like the cloud, same word, would later overshadow her son when he is transfigured. Of course it will. She's barely into her teens, and the Annunciation was a new thing. And then Gabriel, the angel, drops another bombshell. "Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God, nothing will be impossible." Well, a bombshell, yeah. But having just been told that she was going to be the mother of God, the lesser miracle of the manner of birth of John the Baptizer to two humans was a smaller bombshell. And Mary's response to all this then, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Like John, Mary knew her place, stayed in her lane. And I know talk like that strikes us as just a little bit odd, but we would do well to remember our place also when it comes to God. Like John and Mary and others have known their place when it comes to God, and that place is, he's God and we aren't. He came into the world to save us, and we needed saving. So nothing special about Mary, except that she was to become the mother of God. Nothing special about Mary, except that she's the means by which God comes into the world, and he did, in the body of Jesus Christ, who lived that perfect life, died that sacrificial death, rose on the third day, brings salvation to all his people. And that's something pretty special, isn't it? And And then he ascended into heaven, and he left behind for his church the means of grace, the means by which he comes to us these days. His word spoken, and the sacraments, when that word's attached to the waters of baptism, it comes to us there. And especially when his word is attached to bread and wine, he comes to us in his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. And that too is something that's kind of special. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. This time we receive the offerings.